One moment. I think it's announcements first.
It is.
I'm ready here. I'm going to give you announcements, and then you guys can take over when I'm done praying here. There's a couple in the announcements that are not in there, but I have them right up here. I'll give it to you as short as I can. Vacation Bible School is coming next month. And on the 10th of July at 1 o'clock, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, if you are interested, anyone who's interested in coming, going through magazines and cutting out pictures that go along with the fruits of the Spirit, that's what you're going to be doing when you come. Just kind of cutting out pictures that go along with one of the fruits of the Spirit. And they're all out there in the foyer where you can see what they are. And if you got pictures you're not sure where they should go, there's a box out there that says, I don't know where it goes. So somebody else will figure that out for you. And the other one is that if anyone is interested in the church, there is a, it's called Right to Bear, which means Right to Bear Arms type of a thing. It's just a way of training at Fostoria Gun Range, is where they'll meet on July 10th. From 6 o'clock to 9 p.m., Jason Peterson gave me the flyers here, that if anyone's interested, it's for anyone in the church helping to keep your church safe in the days in which we now live. It's something you never had to think about. Now when you think of different things that we hear on the news, it can happen anytime, anywhere, any place. And so there's someone there that is going to be explaining and telling us how we can keep our church premise secure, so that when you come and we worship, we know that we're in a safe place. But that's probably the extent of what you'll ever hear. You'll never know anything about who's carrying or if there is something like that, because I don't know either. Just want you to know that. But it's just something that if you're interested in being a part of, it's for anyone in the church to be there down at Fostoria on July 10th from 6 to 9 p.m. Sharon, I think we're going to have a date, and we'll go to the gun range in Fostoria. So, but you notice I do not have anything. I'm not carrying anything here. Okay. But maybe after this I will. I don't know. We'll see. I think I'll talk to the church council. I should get a bulletproof pulpit. You never know. But good to have you here this morning. You are at the right place. Harbor of Joy is the place. And just some of the announcements that I would like to just share with you this morning are here in your bulletin. I hope you got one when you came in. You can read the things I don't say in here, because there's a lot in here that you can be a part of. Barb Rolfe, you have an announcement to make. Barbara Joe, where are you? Just hold it. I know that you got a good voice. Can I use this? It's for people on Zoom. If they don't hear you through a mic, they go like, how come there's something wrong with our Zoom? We can't hear anything.
We had a wonderful salad.
Oh, did I have it turned on?
We had a wonderful salad luncheon the other day. Over 20 people came, and with guests. But we have the end of the month. The date is, help me, the Titanic is the 15th of this month. It sounds crazy, tea on the Titanic, but it's kind of a fun theme that we're going to have. And so there's a sign-up sheet in the back of the church or in the fellowship hall to be sure to sign up, because we have a limit of 50 people. So please take time to do that before you leave, and it'll be a lot of fun for you. It'll be from 1 to 2, 3.
Thank you, Barbara Joe. Here you go, Suzanne.
Thank you, Timothy.
Yeah. Timothy Leander. That's what my mom would always call me, and I knew I was in trouble when I would hear that. Timothy Leander. Okay. Anyway, moving on here, just want you to know that there's a property committee meeting today following after the worship service. Things are happening as normal as can be this coming week. You can read what's in there. Just want you to know that the people that are getting together for Read Through the Bible, it's the halfway point this coming week. Think of it, half of 2025 is gone. So if you want to be a part of that, maybe you want to bring something to celebrate with. I don't know, for that to take place. But that's this coming Thursday. I do want you to know, too, we pray for Bob Floss today and Lisa. Lisa might be taking him to the urgent care in Spencer. It's been a tough week, and he's not feeling well. That's why you didn't hear him playing this morning. He just is not feeling well. And just remember them in prayer here today, and we will give that time. When I get done with the announcements here, we will pray for them as well as some of the others that are in the prayer list as well. And I think we will do that even right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being able to gather together here this morning, knowing that we are small, but you're big. And there's nothing that is too small for you to hear about. And actually, what we even will hear in our responsive reading today, it's like you already know everything that we're going to say even before we say it. So you know what's on every heart here today and what is on every person's mind. And we just give that all to you today, knowing that you are just omniscient. You know everything about every one of us. And we are grateful to be in your presence here this morning, to be able to hear your word, be able to sing songs that point us to the cross and point us to who you are. And may we worship you, Lord, in a way that we can have joy in our hearts and in our minds and be so thankful that we have a God that cares so much about us and loves us the way that you do. May you come and touch our hearts here this morning as we are your servants, as we come sometimes, maybe even as a spectator today. Have no idea what that is like or what that may mean, but just probably someone that is here today that says, well, it's just the same old Sunday type of thing, and it never is that. When we come together, there is something that is going to happen today because your Holy Spirit is working in our midst, and that is what we pray for here today. We pray, Lord, for those that are in our prayer requests, different people, Dorothy Cherry and Jim Craniger and Anna Moore and Bob Floss and Lisa. We lift them up to you, Lord, because they all have different kinds of things happening and going on in their lives. But we know that you are the one who is only able to bring about and to be able to touch their bodies as only you can, that will allow them to just say that I know that the Lord has been with me today, however that takes place. So thank you for the prayers that are going up right now, and thank you for the concern that people have for each of these people here as well. And there's probably others that have not been shared today, but I just think of Bobby Berry, and just going to have the funeral service for her sister that unexpectedly passed away here over a week ago. And so, Lord, there are things that happen in life that the longer we live, the more things that we see, the more things that affect us, the more things that take place that we sometimes just shake our heads. Sometimes we just say, Lord, wow, what next? And there always is something that comes next. And so, Lord, we look to you for the strength that is needed because we find out how weak we are in our own lives. And so we come to receive from you today what you want to give to each and every one of us that will just change our whole outlook and will change our lives in ways that only you can through your Son, Jesus Christ. So thank you for everyone that is here today. Thank you for the praise band as well. And to be with Melissa and the family as they are away, today, and may you just be involved as you are, and may we always reach out to you by our thoughts and by our prayers. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, praise man, you are on.
We'll invite you all to stand as we sing one of our favorites, America the Beautiful.
Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. In your bulletin, you can follow along if you'd like. It comes from Psalm chapter 16, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me in the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Sit down if you like. I think you're done. As I read the bulletin, you think I would read it and have it down pat every Sunday, but I don't. Just to let you know, I'm not perfect. Anybody here wants to do it? They can. Okay. But we're here because we want to see Jesus, and to reach out and to touch him, but more importantly, that he touches us where we are at here today with him. Responsive reading begins by saying this: O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. We'll have a special number by Curtis Jazz, Sharon both on the flute, and Lynn on the piano. Thank you, Three Musketeers, for sharing that song with us. Curtis, you do a great job. Just want you to know that. Appreciate you every time you sing. I would think that if it was me and I was at your age, I would just say, forget it. But I'm glad you have a heart to sing and you've got a good voice. And keep sharing that as long as you can. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. It comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. And it says this: "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, 'Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?' But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village." As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Ouch. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we find ourselves walking in the sandals, or in the sandals of the disciples and the people here as they walk with Jesus and as they hear him say things, but he's also teaching things about what's really, really important in people's lives. And yet many, many would disagree with that. Lord, we come today, hopefully our hearts are open, our ears are open, our eyes are open, where we want to see Jesus today, that he may touch us and become a part of us as we invite him to be the Lord and Savior of our lives as well. Be with us now, Lord, as we hear your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The more I look at the title of the sermon today, I would change it. It should not be excuses, it should be lessons. Lessons on following Jesus, not excuses for not following Jesus. So if I could change it, that's what I would like to do here today. Looking at the lessons that we learn from this portion of Scripture and about Jesus Christ. I want you to know one thing, that this is the hinge pin. This is where we take a pivot in Scripture of things are happening before in Jesus' ministry and in his life. But here is a real turning point, because Jesus is focusing on going to Jerusalem. And everything, as he's looking at going to Jerusalem, he knows why he's going there. And everything he's going to be saying to people, it is all having to center around by him going to the cross and rising again on the third day. And so he's much more serious in what he is doing from this portion of Scripture onward as he heads to Jerusalem. We find that, he's been called a Samaritan. He's been called someone who's been demon-possessed. He's been asked to leave, or told to leave, the country where all those pigs got possessed by demons and ran into the lake and drowned. And here we find that, again, Jesus sends people forward to get things ready for him and disciples that are coming and it's in the place of Samaria. And when the Samaritans find out that Jesus is not coming just to stay there for a while, but he's ultimately wanting to go to Jerusalem, they say, no, not here. We don't want him here. If that's where he's going, we don't want him here. And I'll get more to that at the very end of the message today, why that's going on here. It is here where we find that James and John, they get the name the Sons of Thunder. This is where they hear what's going on. The Samaritans didn't want him there, and so they go like, well, maybe we can say like, well, Lord, can we call down fire from heaven and just kill these guys? How many times have you ever said that? I wish I could call down fire and just smoke them people or smoke that person, whatever it is. You know, make them into a French fry. I don't know. But we get into that whole mindset, and that's what's going on here with James and John. Remember, they're brothers. They're the sons of Zebedee. They're fishermen. And it takes a lot for them to get a little uptight and say things like this, but they're probably thinking about what happened in 2 Kings chapter 1, I believe. It is about Elijah, that there are 50 soldiers, 50 troops that came with a leader, and he just kind of said like, well, if fire comes down from heaven and licks you guys out, let it be, and whew, that's what happened. The king sent another 50 guys with a captain of the group, and they went to Elijah, and again, Elijah says, well, the Lord sends down fire from heaven or a lightning bolt. That's his business. And boom, wiped out 102 of these soldiers. The king sent a third group of 50. And by that time, the leader of those 50 came very, okay, Elijah, I get the point. You change your mind here. It's okay with me. We don't want to become crispy critters. And those 50 were saved. They did not get burnt by any means. So it could be that James and John are thinking about what Elijah did back in the Old Testament, you know, 1,000 years before this, thinking that maybe they could be as good as Elijah was. When Jesus heard James and John say this, the scriptures tell us that he looked at them, he turned, and says that he rebuked him. Rebuke means a very strong disappointment. Jesus must have just gave him the look, huh? You guys know what the look is. And you know it's like, oops. The look was Jesus was not happy with what he just heard them say. We don't know, it doesn't say it here, but I wonder if Jesus didn't say to both James and John, you know, the Son of Man did not come to destroy sinners, but to save sinners. That's the reason why I'm here. It's the reason why I've come. It's not to do what you just have asked me to give my permission for you to do. I come because I love everybody. I know not everyone will love me back, but I come to save sinners. Do you think James and John knew that they were sinners? I think they would. Do you know that you are a sinner? When's the last time you heard that? You're a sinner, and so am I. We need God's grace very much in our lives. So we're looking at the cost of following Jesus, and what Jesus demands in following him, we get a little idea what that is by what goes on here. And I want us to be able to grasp this in a way that you go like, wow, it's only by his strength can I even attempt to do this. But it's a demand that Jesus makes of every follower. Because it is while he is walking on the road after he's been rejected by the Samaritans to go to another village. It doesn't say if it's another town in Samaria. I assume that it probably is. But he just says, okay, we'll just move on. They don't want us here. We'll just go to some other place, even though you've looked for arrangements to make us all more comfortable or whatever is going to be happening there, where we're going to stay. But it's as they're walking on the road to that next place in Samaria, there's a man that comes and he says to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Doesn't that sound good? I'll follow you wherever you go. That's very encouraging. But you look at what Jesus says to this guy. He says to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. It means they all have a place to go, a place they call home. But he looks at himself, he said, if you want to follow me, I have no place to lay my head. Are you willing to follow me wherever I go, even if I don't have a place to lay down, a place to go? You know, there's no hotel, there's no motel, a room that we're going to go to. I don't even know where I'm going to lay my head down the night that I'm talking to you. So when it comes to following Jesus, it's like, wow, there's a lot of faith involved here in following him. If you're the kind of person that you say, well, I got to have the details. I got to know exactly what's going to happen before I'll follow him or anyone else. You're in trouble. Because Jesus doesn't operate that way. You go by faith. There's things you do that you have no idea why. You just know that you need to follow him. I think oftentimes of missionaries that get called. They have a good job somewhere, doing something someplace, and they go, you know, I'm just going to quit my job, and I really feel like God's calling me to go to some other place. And, of course, they get all kinds of questions by people, like when are you going to do this, or where are you going to stay, and all this stuff, what are you going to do with your kids, and all. And it's like they go, like, well, God's going to take care of that. They just are responding to his call. And I just go, like, wow. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Are you able to do that? Are you able to follow Jesus if he calls you to wherever it is that you will do those kinds of things? Sometimes it could be a person here in Milford. Who has God laid on your heart, or some other person or someone to call, that kind of a thing? And how many times have you said, no, not today. It's too hot. I'm kind of tired. I'll do it another time. I can always stop there on the way to Walmart, or if I go to Spencer. And we just put it off. And I'm the same way. But when God is calling you to do something, that's the cost of following him. It's not when you feel like it. It's not when you get around to it. It's he wants you to do this today, right now. How can you make it happen? He wants to work in you and through you because you say you're a disciple of his. You're a follower of his. So Jesus is just being truthful with this guy. And he tells him he has nothing to offer him except hardship. There's no place to stay. There's nothing to eat. He doesn't know where he's going to get eat, what he's going to eat, or where he's going to get something to eat. All he knows is that before him is the cross. He's going to Jerusalem. He knows he's going to die on the cross, but he'll rise again on the third day. The disciples didn't understand all of that. And what's really interesting is that he uses the Samaritans. Remember the woman at the well that he visited? She was a Samaritan. So he's in Samaria when he goes and talks with her. You heard about the Good Samaritan The only one that helped this guy that was beaten up along the road and left for dead, he takes him to a guy's place and just says, whatever it costs you, take care of him, and when I come back, I'll pay you, or whatever you need, I'll give it to you. And we know that as the Good Samaritan. Some of you have probably been said by other people, told by other people, hey, thanks for helping me out here because you're a really good Samaritan. And that's what they're referring to. You know, they probably wanted help from somebody else and they didn't get it, but you were kind enough to take the time and to be able to help whatever that need was at that time. So we follow Jesus by faith. It's a journey by faith. Is it for just young people? Is it just for middle-aged people? Is it for older people? It's for everybody, all ages. To follow Jesus is not having answers or details or an itinerary. We just know that he's in charge and he'll see us through. That's why sometimes I just love to hear what Patty Griffith said when she had that, what was that, little dummy? The dummy in your suitcase? You know, he showed us pictures of that. And you're going like, oh, I don't know if we're going to get through customs in Tanzania through with this thing in here. And it was no problem. You know, sometimes the Lord makes people seeing eyes blind where they don't see some of these things that are right there in front of them. You see that with the God smuggler, where he would smuggle in Bibles to different countries that didn't want the Bible in, and you'd get into trouble, you get thrown into jail if they found a Bible that you're trying to pass on along the way. And they just kind of went like, well, here we go. We prayed about it. We got people praying for us, and we just trust God that we're going to get through, and we'll be able to hand these Bibles out to people who really want them. And you find time and time again, when they open up, sometimes it's the back of a pickup or back of a vehicle, the trunk of a vehicle, it goes like, there's no way they could miss seeing there's Bibles in there. And yet the guards just kind of go close the door and trunk and say, yeah, you can go. And they kind of go like, wow, how can that be? It's because God is involved. God can do anything, right? That's more faith than what I got. Some guys invited me to go with them on some of these excursions, and I go like, I think I'll just pray for you and let you do it. Real man of faith here, aren't I? The next thing we learn from Jesus is that he asks a man walking with him on the road, follow me. Now, he did this with finding his disciples, follow me. And some of them did. So he tells this guy, well, follow me. And this guy replies back, Lord, first let me go and bury my father before I can come and follow you. And he just says, let me bury my father. What you don't know in this portion of scripture is that this guy's dad is still alive. He's not dead yet. And it might take a while before he gets to that place of dying. And so it's kind of one of those things like, we don't know how long that's going to take. But he's saying to Jesus, first let me go and bury my father. Well, he's still alive, he's still living, has no idea when he's going to die, but that's his saying that he says to Jesus, wait until my dad dies, then I'll come and follow you. And Jesus replied back, let the dead bury their own dead. But you, here's the good part, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. See the word go? Where else do we read about that? Go is in the very last verses of Matthew's account, in Matthew's gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations. First thing is to go. And then whatever happens next is God's going to help you with that. That's the mission. But are you willing to go? That's the big question. Am I willing to go? Am I willing to listen? Am I willing to really follow? Or am I just saying it to say it? It sounds good. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. that he tells us in the very first verse of verse 51, he says, he went there resolutely. He set out for Jerusalem. It means he set his face towards Jerusalem. Very important. He doesn't want anything to distract him from not going to Jerusalem, because he knows what's at stake there, what needs to be done, because the Father is with him and has presented him. The Mount of Transfiguration, according to Luke, has taken place already prior to this, where he's met Moses and Elijah on the mountain, and they encouraged him. What's going to take place? And so he's really looking at getting the mission done, not to be deterred by it at all. So by following Jesus, or to follow Jesus, it's being not like a zealot, you know, you just kind of do things crazily, but it's being humble, being a humble servant, that I will go and I will follow him because I know he's calling me and I know what the mission is. So you have to be determined. It doesn't matter what anybody else may say or do. You know that God is with you and he's calling you to do this. That's all that matters. Even if you're the only one. Because some people might say, that's the craziest thing I ever heard, for you to go quit your job and to go and do that for the Lord. I mean, I think you're nuts. But there are people that have answered the call and have kept determined, were very determined to go where they know that God has called them to go, even to this day. And I really am thankful for them. Another person, the third one and the last one here, says, Jesus, I will follow you, but first let me say, let me go back to my family and say goodbye to them. I mean, all these things seem very good, don't they? Very logical. And Jesus says, it's kind of like, no, don't even think about it. No one who puts his hand to the plow or looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. No one who looks back. And he's put his hand to the plow. Now, I know what that's about because I grew up on a farm. And I remember my dad telling me, pick out something on the horizon. Take the tractor and you put the very front end of that tractor, you got a little thing on the hood there, and you just keep that on what you see on the horizon, and you go the whole way, you never look back. I go, why? You got, because if you look back, you're going to get a furrow like this. But if you keep straight, you'll have a straight furrow. And you know what? He was right. That's was very important to do. And you did that anytime you started any field. You look at the horizon, making sure that you'd go straight. Jesus wants us to always look ahead. Don't look back in things in life. Don't look back, but look ahead. We need to keep our eyes on him and on his mission that he has called us to do and to be a part of. So those are the lessons that we learn from Jesus on following him. Simple little lessons, but yet they're hard to do when it comes right down to it. And it's because we can't do it in our own strength. A lot of times we think we can. We're fooling ourselves. We deceive ourselves. Only God can bring this about in our minds and in our hearts. I just want to conclude by just telling you a little bit about the Samaritans and the Jews, because this is very important. This is the reason why when they found out that Jesus was resolutely going to Jerusalem and they didn't want to have him stay in their own village in Samaria, it's because the Jews looked at the Samaritans as half-breeds. They were Jews that married Gentiles. And they became, by the other Jews from Jerusalem, that they did not follow really the commands of Moses. And because they intermarried with other ones, they were not as good as the Jews that were from Jerusalem. And so you have this tension between the two groups. Just like we find out today, you've got tension between Palestinians and Israel. There's just things that they hold against each other to the point where all they want to do is kind of like kill each other. Doesn't matter who you are, what they are. But we see this happening out all the time. Just even recently that has taken place. But the only difference is today is that you've got Israel who told the people, had dropped leaflets and had told them, we're only going to hit military targets. Iran shot missiles and hit what? Civilian places. You know, there was no warning by them of saying what they were going to hit because they didn't know where the missiles were going to end up hitting and blowing up and who was going to be a part of it. All they wanted to do was kill Jews. Didn't matter who got killed. Very interesting that it still goes on even today. We hear it often. The Samaritans believed that the place to worship God and to come close to him was on Mount Gerizim. That is in Samaria. There's a place called Shiloh. That is also the place where they believed that they needed to go and to worship. They didn't have to go to Jerusalem, or they would not go to Jerusalem, because to them, God had given them this place to worship him. So why does Jesus need to go to Jerusalem? Why can't he just worship here at our place? Because Jerusalem is where the first temple was built by Solomon. Not only that, but before Solomon, you have where God told Abraham to go to Mount Moriah and to sacrifice his son Isaac. Mount Moriah is a place in Jerusalem where the Temple Mount is. Got that? So that's why Jesus, he knows that he has to go to where God has told Abraham to sacrifice his son, but he saved his son by giving a ram that was in the thicket. But now it's his turn where God is going to send his one and only son to go to Jerusalem and to die for all mankind. And he will not save him. He gets crucified and dies. A cruel death, a painful death. And we find that the temple was rebuilt. It was destroyed in 70 AD. That was the second temple. It was destroyed in 70 AD. But remember when the Jews were taken captive from Jerusalem? Jerusalem was destroyed. King Nebuchadnezzar took them to Iraq. It would be modern-day Iraq, to the Babylonian area in Iran. But then about 70-some years later, there was a group that went back to Jerusalem. King Cyrus was the king who said, yeah, you can go and go back and rebuild Jerusalem, but rebuild your temple. It was a key point in them doing that. And that's part of the history that you find that goes on in the scriptures here. And so it is now is the time where you find that there isn't any kind of good peace happening between the Samaritans and the Jews. They just don't like each other. And that's kind of the reason why. The Samaritans have a place of their worship to God. The Jews have Jerusalem, which would be known as the southern kingdom versus the northern kingdom. God has always chosen Jerusalem to be the place. It's a very holy place for his people. So the hostility and the conflict and the tension, it comes over 100 years between these two groups of people. The cost of following Jesus is not always easy. Following him will lead to a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, a lot of tears. But he still asks us to come and to follow him. Because Jesus treats all people, all different kinds of people. We see, through, as we read about him in the scriptures, he's always going to people. He goes to them. He goes to the sinner. The ones that no one else wants to go to. He goes to them. He loves them. He talks with them. That's the Jesus way. Talking. Visiting. Loving. And communicating that. And yet we find, like here today, a place where some people don't like him. They don't like Jesus. They don't want him around. But we find that Jesus didn't give up. He pressed on. He knew what the mission was. He did it for us, for you and me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the lessons that we have heard about here this morning. There are probably other lessons that people think about when they read this and say, why didn't the pastor say this or say that? Well, Lord, it's all in your hands. But we just thank you for the way that we see you at work in hearts and lives of people that can be very possessed by demons. And yet it's you that went to them. It is you that set them free. It is you that healed them. Lord, we need more of you in our hearts and in our lives. May we always invite you to be what we cannot be. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. You give us what we don't deserve over and over and over again. Lord, help us all to be more like you. We pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together this morning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Before you be seated, receive the benediction found in the last two verses of Jude, the book before Revelation at the very end of the Bible. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages now and forevermore. Amen. May you be dismissed with these words, go in peace and serve the Lord.